Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY 2022 earnings conference call of Aegis Logistics Limited. Today on this call we have Mr. Raj Chandaria, Chairman and Managing Director of Aegis Logistics Limited, along with the senior management team. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. Actual results may differ materially. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Raj Chandaria, CMD of Aegis Logistics Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm joined today by our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Murad Moledina, and we will be presenting the FY 2021-22 full year results, which of course includes the Q4 results, as well as the outlook for FY 2022-23 and various other business updates. Now, you will recall that we did have a weaker start to the year in Q1, which was then followed by a steady recovery in the following three quarters, which has resulted in an overall a good performance for the whole year of FY 2021-22. We are now looking forward to a strong performance for the current year, FY 2022-23, to build further on the recovery in profits growth that we saw in FY 2021-22. Let me just turn to a little more detail on FY 2021-22. Revenues increased to 4,631 crores versus 3,843 crores from the previous year, primarily as a result of higher sourcing volumes. EBITDA for the group rose to 586 crores versus 535 crores in the previous year. That's a rise of around 10% over the previous year and an increase to 164 crores in Q4, which is actually a quarterly high, in you know lifetime high. Profit before tax rose to 472 crores as compared to 433 crores in the previous year, which was adjusted for the effect of the ESPC. That's a rise of 9% and of profit growth despite a very weak Q1 at the beginning of the year. Profit after tax for the group was 385 crores versus 347 crores the previous year, and adjusted for the effect of ESPP, and that's a rise of 11%. We believe that this marks a clear return to our profit growth path despite a shaky peak COVID-affected start to the year in Q1, which was April, May, June of 2021. The earnings per share for the year therefore comes in at rupees 10.19 per share for the whole of FY 2021-22 versus 6.36 per share in the previous year. On the basis of the improved results and confidence that business conditions have now stabilized, I am pleased to report that the board has declared a final dividend of rupees 0.50 per share, aggregating to 2.50 rupees per share for the whole year, a 25% rise over the previous year. I'd now like to go through the underlying segment numbers. In the liquids division, the revenues for FY 2022 were 270 crores versus 234 crores in the previous year. That's an increase of around 15% from the previous year. The EBITDA for the year rose to 194 crores, which is again an increase of 13% from the previous year, reflecting the impact of the capacity additions at Kandla, Mangalore, and Haldia. Coming to the gas terminal segment, revenues were 4,361 crores versus 3,609 crores in the previous year. The EBITDA for the year was 390 crores versus 362 crores in the previous year, a rise of 8% over the previous year. We continue to see a rebound for the gas division, with sourcing and distribution volumes improving and throughput remaining stable, as I will now explain with the sales volume analysis. Starting with the throughput volumes, the LPG volumes for the year handled at our three terminals of Mumbai, Haldia, and Pipavav were 2.86 million metric tons versus 2.91 million metric tons in the previous year, despite a very low first quarter. So Q4 volumes were 800,800 metric tons versus 752,000 metric tons in the previous quarter, with Q4 clocking the second highest lifetime volumes. Haldia had good volumes, and Mumbai continued to operate at full capacity with both with all three oil companies, IOC, HPCL, and BPCL, bringing imports. The LPG rail gantry at Pipavav continues to perform well and is delivering considerable cost savings to our customers, which is in turn driving improved volumes at Pipavav. The bulk industrial segment delivered 38,580 metric tons in Q4 versus 29,662 metric tons in the previous quarter, and aggregating to 114,058 metric tons during the year versus 76,107 metric tons a year earlier, representing a 50% growth over the previous year, and margins remain stable. The commercial and domestic cylinder segment, which sells to hotels, restaurants, and small-scale industries under the Aegis Pure Gas brand, and to the domestic household segment under the Aegis Chota Sikandar brand, was steady with Q4 sales of 6,568 metric tons versus 6,414 metric tons in the previous quarter. But for the year as a whole, sales volume ended at 24,334 metric tons versus 19,524 metric tons a year earlier, registering a 25% increase. So we have now commissioned five new bottling plants during the year, which should bring additional volumes to this segment in the current year. Auto gas sales were slightly higher at 6,185 metric tons in Q4 versus 5,961 metric tons in Q3 and 21,700 metric tons during the whole year versus 19,785 metric tons a year earlier, which represents an increase of around 10%. Margins remain stable and healthy. There are more fuel stations to be commissioned this year, and there's also a good pipeline of around 60 new dealers over the next 24 months or so. The sales volume of the sourcing business was 270,451 metric tons versus 125,858 metric tons in the previous quarter. As we reported last quarter, we expect this to increase in volumes to continue throughout the calendar year on account of winning an important tender at the beginning of the year. Let me now finally turn to the business highlights for the quarter and the outlook for the rest of the year and an update on the CapEx plan. As far as the during the quarter, Pipavav Port continued its work on making the LPG jetty compliant for handling VLGCs, with completion expected by June 2022, which, when completed, will further improve the competitiveness of Pipavav as an LPG logistics hub. You recall that an important part of this was the rail gantry, which is completed, and now we're waiting for the jetty to be completed. Kandla Oil Jetty number 7, which will be VLGC compliant, the work continues and is expected to be completed by September 2022. Work by the IHBL, which is the IOC, Hindustan Petroleum, Bharat Petroleum Consortium, KGPL pipeline, LPG pipeline, that's the Kandla-Gorakhpur LPG pipeline, to which, if I can remind everyone, both Kandla and Pipavav terminals will be connected. That work continues. Phase one is expected, according to the information we have, is expected to be completed by December 2022. The outlook for FY23, both gas and liquid segments continue to perform well. We've had a good start to the year, and it is our expectation that this next year, the current financial year 2023, sales will continue to grow robustly. As far as the projects are concerned, I'm really pleased to confirm that the Kandla LPG project has been successfully commissioned with no technical issues, and we have in fact handled our first cargo in May. We expect now to see this terminal gradually ramp up volumes and start contributing to the earnings per share. Project work has now commenced full swing on the expansion project that we announced in Q2, and we will keep giving updates in the ensuing quarters on how these are progressing. As far as the Aegis-OPAC joint venture is concerned, I'm also really pleased to confirm that all the formalities are now complete. The joint venture has been completed and successfully, and we look forward to excellent results from this this joint venture. So that concludes my presentation. We can now take questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Digant Haria with GreenEdge Wealth Services. Please go ahead.
Hi. Firstly, congratulations for the, you know, probably the best ever quarter in terms of gas volumes, you know, both in retail and institutions. So my question, sir, is, you know, how much of the gas that we handle is eventually used for cooking gas purposes only? You know, would you have that insight, you know, as to what BCPL, IOC and HPCL buy from us? What percentage eventually ends up as cooking gas in houses of people?
I would say that the statistics that we have basically show that 90% of the LPG volumes in India are related to cooking gas. So that would mean 10% is non-cooking gas related. I think the ratio in the future will change. Cooking gas will continue to grow simply by way of the fact that more and more people are coming into the LPG net. But the non-cooking gas applications are also increasing. Transportation slow but steady in improvement. The industrial applications of LPG are also increasing, at least right now, it's a good competitor to natural gas, because as you know, natural gas prices globally are rising quite rapidly. Plus, I think generally we are seeing much more awareness of the environmental pressures and so on, and slow substitution to cleaner fuels is also happening amongst industrial customers. So I think at the moment the ratio is, I would say, 90%, but slowly we expect the proportion of non cooking gas applications to also improve.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Himanshu Yadav with Edelweiss Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, first of all, could you please clarify the reason behind spike in receivables and that 221 crore dividend paid, what is that related to the cash flow statement? That's one. Second is, I mean, with Kandla now, you know, started, what kind of volume expectations do you have for the first 12 months? I mean, you have been saying that anywhere from 0.7 to, you know, 1 billion ton is what we have been expecting. Does that remain same or is there any change in that? That will be all. Thank you.
Could you repeat the first? I didn't hear the first question.
So first question was the reason behind there's a spike in the receivables in the balance sheet. And also there is a 221 crore dividend paid item appearing in the cash flow. So I just wanted clarification regarding what is that related to.
Okay, yeah. Murad, can I ask you to take that question, please? The first part, and then we can talk about Kandla.
Yes. So as you are aware, our beginning this calendar year, we have had a good booking of sourcing business, and therefore, as these have almost doubled than the previous quarter, you will see the increase in receivable as well as corresponding increase in payable. So these are on back-to-back open credit of 30 days. So they will both appear, but they are not a drag on working capital because working capital is zero in this. So it is only on both the sides equal kind of increase you will see in receivable as well as payable on account of increase in sourcing volumes during this calendar year 2022. As far as dividend in cash flow is concerned, in this financial year we have paid two dividends of 2 rupees each. So that is what is being reflected out there, including minority shareholder of Hindustan Aegis being paid their share from our subsidiary Hindustan Aegis. So all of these three together will amount to 221 crore dividend, which has been shown here. So we paid dividend for FY 2021 during the year, as well as we paid for the year 21-22 an interim of 2 rupees. So 4 rupees itself, that is 140 crores paid to Aegis shareholder, and the balance is what the minority shareholder was paid out of Hindustan Aegis, our subsidiary. I hope that answers.
Yeah. As far as the second question is concerned, the prospects for the Kandla LPG terminal, I think, you know, obviously we are 6 months delayed, so, you know, that obviously that has sort of, you know, reduced our expectations to that extent. But we expect a slow and steady ramp up to the volumes. You know, in an LPG terminal or any form of gas terminal, it really depends, of course, on the contract that we can, the attractiveness of the terminal. We have been speaking to our customers that we are now ready to receive cargoes, and I'm confident that while we may not have specific exact numbers at the moment to share with you, but I'm confident that we will, like all the other three terminals, we will achieve close to the kind of numbers that we have been talking about in terms of throughput. So, Murad, do you want to add anything to that?
Yes, and also please note that Kandla Terminal is very close to a large industrial consumption market for LPG, and that is also what we would be targeting. So you will have to see both put together, the throughput as well as the distribution margins which Kandla is going to generate. I think that will definitely meet up with whatever projections we have had in mind.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Priyankar Biswas with Nomura. Please go ahead.
Sir, what I heard about Kandla is that this asset can also give you distribution-linked benefits. That's what you said in the previous statement. So can you quantify the impact that, how much uptick in distribution volumes you can expect just because of the Kandla commissioning from your normal run rate?
Murad, you want to just take that question?
I can take that. So let me explain to you in the sense that, as you are aware, distribution margins are at least between 5x to 10x of throughput margins. And as such, even if we are able to do 10,000 tons distribution from Kandla, which is expected very easily as Morbi market is very nearby, we would be doing equivalent of 50,000 tons of throughput in that sense. So that should give you a fair idea of the potential. And it all depends as we will grow. And there is a huge potential, we believe, that we can grow in distribution volumes out there. So we are looking at both throughput as well as distribution to achieve what is targeted as an EBITDA generation from Kandla LPG terminal.
Sir, my additional question is, recently you have acquired this asset at Kandla, this Friends Liquids Terminals. So the acquisition price seems quite low, I mean, given the size of the asset. So are there any hidden issues or something with this asset that we need to rectify? I mean, is there some problem with that asset?
No, I think, Mr. Biswas, you have correctly identified. We are very proud of what has been achieved in terms of the acquisition price. I think it's an outstanding transaction for us. I'm surprised that nobody else really noticed it, but you did. Congratulations. No, I can confirm that thorough due diligence was done. There is absolutely nothing wrong with the assets. I think, in fact, the asset is an excellent asset and really puts us in a commanding position as far as the liquids business in the north part of India, for which Kandla is the main gateway. We are now the undisputed jointly with Vopak, of course, in AVTL, where we have 51%, the undisputed market leader, the price setter, and really looking forward to some outstanding numbers coming out of this acquisition. So I can confirm that no, there's nothing wrong with the asset. It's in excellent condition. So, Murad, you want to just you participated in the due diligence for this?
Cheap if it was such a great asset, I mean, by the previous owners. So I'm just wondering.
Murad, you want to add anything, please?
Let me add here. You see, the advantage with Aegis is that it had money to put on the table, and it was the only party, because we had already announced our joint venture with Vopak, really a serious contender to take over easily that asset and quickly. And of course, on the other side, there were succession issues, there were pressures which the party was undergoing. And sometimes things just fall in place. So we are very happy that this has happened. There could be n number of reasons, we can't list all of them. But I think we have highlighted a few that we were the party who could put money on the table, acquire the asset quickly, and we could undertake due diligence fast to complete it in a very short time. And I think this is what put us ahead of any other contender on paper that would have been there. So we are very happy that we could do this.
Sir, one additional question. So since the deal with Vopak is now affirmed, that is concluded, so can you give us an idea, since this is done, so what would be the cash utilization? So you are getting like 2,200 crores of cash post-tax. So how this is going to be utilized? I mean, probably a roadmap or something like that. Murad, you want to just take that?
Yeah, I'll start with that. So we have in past said that we have done this joint venture and this cash. We have highlighted and set out three growth paths which we are going to pursue, and we are sure and confident that the cash would be easily be used in these three growth paths. Of course, the first one being that we have said that there will be more aggressive growth and expansion in our retail and distribution segment, which is a high EBITDA generating segment. And then, of course, in AVTL itself, there is already a set growth path where we would be deploying all the internal accruals of AVTL back into the growth projects that we have identified over the next 5 years. And then there would be a third growth path, which is new products the JV and the JV partner brings on the table, lots and lots of new ideas and projects and products which could be pursued, of course, in terminal link space, whether it is natural gas, ammonia, and many, many more. And we are already talking on some of them, and I'm sure in near future we'll come up with projects as and when they are identified as you know, suitable investment opportunities and share it. We have, of course, already announced 1,250 crore of project in AVTL, which has already kicked off and has commenced construction. So on all fronts, I think very aggressive growth pursuit, and we are sure this cash would be used up productively. In the meantime, of course, we would ensure that it gets a reasonable, safe return in our books till the time it is deployed.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from the line of Dijan Haria with Green Edge Wealth Services. Please go ahead.
Sir. So my second question is, you know, my first question was cut, you know, I don't know why, but my second question was that, you know, we mentioned in our presentation that we'll do around 1250 crores of capex, you know, in the joint venture with Vopak, and that would be, you know, for 190,000 tons of liquid capacity and around 1 lakh metric tons of gas capacity. So now, you know, before the deal, we almost had 6 times of that capacity in liquid and around 9 times of that capacity in gas. So is it fair to say that the replacement value of all the assets that we had before the Vopak deal would easily have been 6,000-7,000 crores? Or, you know, has the capex cost really gone up in recent years?
Murad, I think just what's the crux of the question? Is it on the replacement cost of the assets, or you know, what is it that?
My question is sir, that, you know, the assets that we already have are maybe, you know, 5 times or 6 times the assets we are trying to build in the Vopak joint venture by spending 1250 crores. So, is it that the replacement value of our assets has gone up so much in the last 5-10 years?
Let me put it this way, that our existing LPG static capacity is close to around 110,000 metric tons. All four terminals put together, 18,300 Pipavav, 25,000 Haldia, 20,000 Mumbai, and 48,000 in Kandla. Yeah, so that is 110,000 metric ton. We are building 100,000 additional static gas capacity. In addition,
I get it.
So your valuation of 6,000-7,000, I don't know where it comes from. Yeah, okay, fine.
Okay, fine. Yeah, that was it from my side. Thank you.
But I just would like to add that, a general point that, in fact, the for any new comer coming into this sector, the cost of capital capital expenditures has gone up. Materials are much more expensive. So, you know, somebody who has already got a substantial asset base obviously is always going to be at an advantage.
Right, sir. If we have to do a theoretical exercise of what will be the, you know, if we have to make the entire Aegis Logistics asset base today, what would be the probable cost of that?
Sorry, we have not worked out, so it's very difficult. Yeah, it's very hypothetical in any case. But it's not just the cost, the location. You know, where in Mumbai, no one else can come in. There's no land. In Pipavav, no one else can come in. There's no land. So it's not just the cost. It's very difficult to value anything like this hypothetically.
Right. Okay. Fine. Fair enough. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Dipesh Kashyap with Aquarius Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for taking my questions. Sir, your volumes for sourcing, throughput and distribution have improved quarter on quarter, but your EBITDA in the gas segment seems to be a little down, right? So I just want to understand the reason for the same. Which segment have you felt the margin pressure?
We have in Q4 almost clocked identical EBITDA as the previous quarter, and it is the mix. But yes, in the last quarter, the retail margins were a little higher. But the throughput volume which increased in the current quarter was not very significant. As well as the bulk industrial sales, where the real increase was there, has the least margin out of all the four sub-segments. So which is why you see almost equivalent kind of an EBITDA in Q4 versus Q3.
So, but will you say that?
I think it was more the product mix, that because as Murad said, that the industrial segment accounted for a fairly important part of the Q4 numbers, and there the margins are the lowest out of all the segments that we have. Yeah, sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
So I just want to confirm, sir, the throughput margins are intact, right? The 1,000 rupees per ton that you basically normally
absolutely
talk about, that is intact.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
And sir, recently there was a lot of press releases that you put on the stock exchanges regarding the change in valuation, right, of the few terminals that were transferred to the JV. I just want to understand what was the reason for the change in valuations for that.
Sorry, I have not understood your question correctly.
There were a lot of press releases that the assets which are being transferred to the AVTL joint venture, there was some change in valuation, right? If I understand correctly.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Now that valuation happened when we were finalizing the joint venture, and it was an upside valuation. So we were, as you can see with Vopak release also, we could secure 10 million euro more than what was earlier agreed, which is around 900 million rupees, is what is the valuation finally signed off between the partners. So we could secure more. We are happy for that.
Okay, got it. So sir, now the JV is now structured, right, post March. So can you just give the gross debt and the cash number of the AVTL as of now? What will be that?
Oh, no, it's just happened, yes, just 2 days back. So just give us time, maybe in Q1, when we come out, we will come out with some advice on that, some guidance.
Got it. So 265 crores for the French terminal, that was spent through JV. Is that understanding correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, got it. And lastly, sir, the capex of 1,250 crore that you have mentioned in the PPT, how should we build that? Like, should the capex for FY23 and 24?
I think you can spread it almost equally between 2 years, FY23 and FY24.
So 1250 divided by 2, like that is the capex
you're
looking at.
You can safely do that. Yeah.
Understood. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sarvesh Gupta with Maximal Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Gupta, your line is unmuted. You could please state your question.
Sir, hi, good evening. So with regard to this 2200 crore that you are receiving, so 1250 crore is the expenditure by the joint venture, right? So out of which our share would be 625 odd crores. Is that the right way of looking at it?
Yes.
Okay. So given that this will be again spread, across 2 years, so out of the 2200 crore, we have plans for 300 crores as of now for this year.
Right.
What is the plan for the remaining 1900 crore for FY23 and for the remaining 1600 crore for FY24? If you can be more specific, because I know that you had tried to answer this earlier to an earlier participant question, but that was very, very high level and very vague. So I want to understand specifically, what is the quantum of money that we are going to spend, which year, which way, because, the businesses which have been retained are very asset-light, like your distribution and all. So they don't require that quantum of money. So, as shareholders, because this has been almost 1 year the deal has been in making. So we want some concrete answers on this particular question, sir.
Yes, we take your point, but then the deal has closed just 2 days back. And we are yet to decide on the projects which are going to be undertaken. And we will come out as and when we are ready with those projects, because a project involves a lot of things to be closed and fixed. So we are not yet ready for that. But what we can tell you is that there are lots and lots of opportunities, and we are working on many of them. And no sooner as and when they happen, and we are ready to undertake, we will come out and announce them, like we have announced 1,250 crore of project. So it's that we cannot wait and first finalize the project and then come up with the money. So the joint venture was important for two reasons. One is that it gave the cash for future growth, as well as it gives new. It brings on table new ideas like industrial terminal, jetty, as well as new products like natural gas and ammonia, etc., which we can now get into and which are already on the table under discussion. But have patience, we will come up with, as and when we are ready with specific projects, we will announce.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'd like to add a point here that one of the philosophies that Aegis has is that we will not invest in projects which do not give shareholders an excellent return on capital. This has been the guiding philosophy. Better not to spend the money than do poor return projects. So we will be looking around for high return projects. I think Mr. Biswas from Nomura also highlighted that, that we will try to acquire assets or build assets which are attractively priced, which will, of course, enhance our return on capital employed. We will not do white elephant projects or prestige projects. It's basically as and when opportunities come before us, we will examine them and then deploy the capital that we have, in order to give the maximum return. So that's our philosophy. And as Murad said, that as and when these opportunities present themselves, we will, of course, be keeping everybody updated.
Yeah, and just to add here, in addition to 1,250 crore projects which were announced, we acquired when the opportunity presented itself, the Kandla Friends terminal of 500,000 kiloliters. So there are discussions on many other such opportunities, and as and when we are able to secure them or finalize, then we would come up with the announcements.
Understood. From a business point of view, most of this gas and liquid divisions business has been parked in the JV. Now, you have distribution business with you. Are there any adjacent area where we feel we will have a competitive edge and where reasonable amount of money can be deployed? I mean, adjacencies to your business. Do you see such possibilities, and if yes, then what are those?
Yeah, I would say, you know, every aspect of the business, of our adjacent businesses, which improves and enhances the competitiveness of our existing assets. So Murad mentioned, for example, if we have the opportunity to participate in or build jetties which bring down the cost of bringing gas or new energy projects or anything like that, we will definitely look at. That's something that our teams are doing every day. I think I mentioned that the environmental pressures are increasing on people using dirty fuels. And one of the key things that we at Aegis believe is that we will be an important player, participant in helping India transition to a more sustainable future. So, and that means primarily gas in the short term. So all aspects of, so converting, for example, people who are using coal to cleaner fuels and so on, all aspects of that are on the table, and our teams are actively looking at such projects and investment opportunities.
Understood, sir. And this French terminal that you have acquired, while normally you will have some time to ramp up the capacity, this would already be in full utilization. So what sort of an EBITDA would it add to us?
Yes, this is one of the advantages of acquisition-driven growth as well. Murad, can I hand it over that question to you?
Yeah, so what we do is that when we acquire a terminal, it has to be then upgraded to the standard of Aegis and Vopak. So that doesn't mean that we will close down, but it will take time for a ramp-up and change of product mix, which will enhance the revenue and EBITDA. So it's premature to come up with any projections of EBITDA as far as French terminal is concerned. But during the year, I'm sure we would be in a position to to come up with the contributions which French terminal would make to our EBITDA very soon. Yeah.
Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Chirag with Budhrani Group. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. So wanted to understand this. Am I audible? Hello?
That's a little muffled.
Am I audible now, sir?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, you're audible.
Yeah. So just two things to understand. The CRL acquisition and the acquisition from French Group of this liquid terminal, what is the current utilization level there, sir?
In both the cases, it is about
75%. And this acquisition from French Group will come in Aegis book, right? All 100% belongs to Aegis.
AVTL, Aegis Vopak Terminal, all liquid capacities are in Aegis Vopak.
Okay. And also wanted to understand, during FY20, we had very good, sourcing volume of around 18-19 lakh metric tons. Are we are we ever going to reach there, or you think the current volumes are good enough?
Yeah, sourcing volumes, I think, yes, we had an excellent in the 2019-20 year. Then, of course, we've had much lower volumes. We are back in the game now for this calendar year, and we expect to see continued growth in sourcing volumes. I can't predict with exact, whether we will win a tender or not. It is a tender-driven business. And of course, there are some supply chain challenges as well. But our objective is to obviously try and get back to the kind of levels that we were operating previously.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one. Our next question comes from the line of Suman Kapra with TechFin Consultant. Please go ahead. Ms. Kavatra, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead. Since there is no response, we will take the next question. Our next question comes from the line of Anand Mundra with My Temple Capital Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Good evening, sir. I'm sorry I joined the call late, so probably this might have been answered earlier. What is the reason for an increase in borrowing year on year? It's gone up from around 400 crores to around 800 crores. So just wanted to know that.
Sorry, what did you say the borrowings have grown from?
Around 400 crores to 800 crores, the borrowing.
Where did you get 800 crores from? It is not 800 crores.
So what is the debt level?
300 odd crore and 90 odd crore for the current year.
Okay.
If you look, yeah.
All right. I'll recheck that figure again. I'm sorry.
So that 800 crore we have never ever in our lifetime taken. So.
Okay. All right. And sir, regarding our, how much of our distribution is to retail, domestic retail, around what percentage?
Against what volume are you referring as a percentage?
Distribution volume. Gas distribution volume?
Yeah, so gas distribution volume, if you look at our presentation, 24 and 21,000 were auto gas and packed cylinders, and around 114,000 was industrial consumption, industrial bulk industrial distribution. So that's the breakup for the year. 1,14,000, 22,000 odd auto LPG, and around 24,000 odd is packed cylinders.
Okay, so on the retail side, are we seeing any pressure on volume given that government has increased subsidy through the PSU channel? So won't people be more inclined on getting cylinders through the oil PSU?
No. We have. I think we are not into domestic LPG segment in a big way as yet. So there is enough scope in commercial LPG, where and of course very small cylinders of 2 kg and 4 kg in retail segment. For commercial use, we have gone all the way up to 450 kg cylinder. So there is enough scope there. To make inroads, and please understand there is no change in pricing. The subsidy is given to the oil companies, so there is no tweaking in the price which the consumer pays as such.
Mr. Mundra, sorry for the interruption. I would request you to kindly join the queue. Our next question comes from the line of Rajesh Agarwal with MoneyOrd. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sir, I have two questions. One, auto LPG, can there be a drop in volumes because our main customers are auto rickshaw drivers and all three-wheelers, and the government has not increased the subsidy. There's a lot of black marketing happening in that sector where the difference is huge per cylinder or per kg, whatever you call it. And second question, sir, PNG infrastructure being set up across the country, will it affect the cooking LPG volumes which we are importing? These are the two questions, sir.
Yeah. Murat, shall I take those?
Sir, let me just add here, highlight a couple of things here, then you can take it. As far as PNG is concerned, and what maybe you are talking about CDG, yes. you know, there are so many you know, players now getting in, but where is the material? You know, look, the CDGs which have been given, the city distribution gas network, may be equal to around 20, you know, MMBTU, if I may call it, and our local production is not even 25%. And if we try and import natural gas, it's ridiculous rates at which it is now being sold. People, the producers are booked till 2-3 years from now, till 2026 and beyond. So where is the gas, you know, for the city distribution and cooking purpose? So that's what, and auto LPG volumes have not dropped. In fact, they have marginally increased. During the year, as you can see from our presentation, for the year over the previous year, we have increased by 25%. And there are a lot of auto gas stations in pipeline. So they wouldn't be in pipeline if there wouldn't be a demand for the gas. So there are franchises who are interested in setting up stations, and they are in pipeline, and you will see ramp up. Only thing is, it is a slow ramp up because of you know, lot of permits and on ground difficulties which the franchise face. Otherwise, we don't see a challenge. Yeah, Mr. Raj, if you would want to add to this.
I fully endorse what you said, Murad. But and I just add that the question about the penetration of natural gas distributed through a pipe network and so on has been raised many times before. I think, first of all, city gas distribution is coming, and but we do not believe it will pose a serious challenge to the growth in LPG. LPG will continue to be the most important fuel in India. And you know, as these big important pipelines like the KGPL pipeline and so on get built, you know, the cooking gas will in the most portable form, which is LPG, will be the dominant fuel in India for many years to come. And you know, there is a serious question on the economics of piped natural gas. In terms of the sourcing of the actual natural gas, as Murad alluded to. So we believe that LPG will continue to be the main fuel of the future. On the second question of, you know, the price differentials in for the auto gas segment and so on, we don't anticipate a serious problem on that. We've been through this this type of cycle many years, and ultimately prices always adjust, and we don't anticipate a problem in volumes.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question. I would now hand over the conference to Mr. Raj Chandria for closing comments.
Thank you very much. So I just want to conclude by saying that 2021 and 22 has been started off in a very challenging way, but we finished the year on a note of optimism and tremendous excitement, because we have concluded many important milestones, including a commissioning of our Kandla terminal, including the completion of the Vopak joint venture, and important infrastructural developments that are going on in the various ports. And we begin the new financial year with real confidence in the path that we are following. So, and really looking forward now that these important projects are behind us, Kandla and Vopak and so on, really looking forward to the next phase of growth reporting some excellent results going forward. Thank you so much, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Aegis Logistics Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line.